Welcome to A Certain Age, a show for women who are unafraid to age out loud. Beauties, I am beyond excited to introduce you to our guest today. She is a serial entrepreneur and author. She is the definition of creativity, innovation, reinvention. She has impeccable taste. She began her career in luxury interior design, wrote an interior design book, then founded two home decor businesses that were acquired by Minted.com and The Gilt Group, major players in the home decor and lifestyle space. Somehow not on her resume is the fact that she is my cousin. Shane Riley joins me today to fill us in on her latest company called Obshe, a first-of-a-kind company offering wellness decor in the form of decorative sculptural hand weights. If you moved your workouts into your living room during the pandemic, or think wellness decor is your Peloton bike doubling as a clothing hanger, stick around and learn what sparked the idea for wellness decor products designed to build muscle while elevating the beauty of your living space. Welcome, Shane.
Hi, Katie.
This is so fun. You are the very first family member to be on this podcast. It's just, you know, such a treat. And I'm really excited. So thank you for being with me. And also thank you for waking up very early on the West Coast to join me for this early morning session.
No problem at all. I'm excited to be here. And I always get up early. So that's okay.
Well, we do not have that in common. That's like a family difference because I love to sleep late. But you're here. We're going to talk about your design background. I know that you are a lifelong creative. I know you painted as a teen. You bring a very visionary eye to luxury interior design. You launched two out-of-the-box interiors company powered by technology. And I want to hear what sparked the idea for Obshe and what exactly is wellness decor?
Well, the original idea actually came during the pandemic when I stood up from my desk after a long Zoom call and tripped over the dumbbells that I was storing under my desk. I thought to myself, why are these under my desk? They're under my desk because they're ugly. And it led me to thinking, well, I know how to make things beautiful. I know what it means to have an object that looks like sculpture that would be accepted by the world of interior designers and such. And it just got me thinking, like, maybe I could create that.
Yeah, it makes so much sense because there's been such a, I think, a shift around how we have products in our home. I think of, you know, the MoMA design store where you can go in and you could find like architectural like ice cream scoopers or you know, gorgeous vegetable peelers. And we've seen this sort of elevation of our spaces. I think Instagram's played a role in that. You know, our homes are beautiful. You look at children's nurseries in the home, you see, you know, gorgeous cribs. There's the opportunity to have beautiful products in our home. So, you know, was that something, you know, was it the sense that we could, you know, tell us a little bit more about, you know, why a weight, why something on your desk and the, you know, sort of how you took this aha moment of, you know, weights are ugly and actually turned it into a physical product.
Well, what I've seen over my career is that home tends to follow fashion. Although it often is years later and a much slower process because the home industry doesn't move quite as fast. And when I think about where what we've seen changes in fashion over the last couple decades is, of course, this whole movement towards athleisure and clothes being made for an active lifestyle, clothes you can move in, clothes you feel good in that actually make you healthier. Like classic example is, you know, because so many of us wear sneakers now instead of 4-inch heels, we're more likely to take the stairs or go for a walk in the middle of the day. So of course, those things are good for us. We wear yoga pants to work, many of us. We're looking for more out of our clothes. And I really believe that home will follow in the same path. And so you already see lots of trends in the home space. Probably led by, you know, the rise of luxury spas and, you know, wonderful places to go for wellness retreats and such. But you're seeing the types of elements from those kinds of spaces entering our home. So architecturally, people are looking for larger windows, for more light. We're looking to bring in natural elements like fire and water and natural stones and woods and such. And this is, of course, coming into our the style and aesthetic where you see even color palettes featuring lots of greens and blush pinks and neutrals. I mean, just scroll through Instagram or look around on Pinterest and these are the types of things that are dominating. And I think that comes from this desire to feel comfortable in our spaces and to have our homes really help us feel better in them.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
No, no, go. Keep going.
I was just going to say, I see all this happening, and it has been happening for a while. And then, you know, I think during the pandemic, this kind of went into an accelerated, it started accelerating because, as you mentioned, of course, you started seeing sort of in popular culture, like people having their Pelotons in the backgrounds and people bringing weights into their living room and trying to figure out, you know, what am I going to do? My gym has closed. So, you know, actually moving and lifting and getting fit is like a whole other level, of course, than just sort of, you know, dealing with natural fabrics. But I really believe this is, we're going to see more and more of this in the future, because at the end of the day, even though to use a Peloton example, it's a beautiful machine and it's way more attractive than the many bikes that came before it, it still is a machine and it still is a piece of an equipment. And so the idea of Objet is all about, what are the products that we can have around us that make it convenient to get more healthy, that look beautiful and must succeed first with a level of high design?
Yeah, absolutely. This makes so much sense to me. I mean, I my yoga studio closed during the pandemic, and all of a sudden I was exercising in my living room, and it did make me rethink my mat, because I had like a very ugly yoga mat that I didn't need, you know, hanging around in my space. And wellness really is woven into our lives. You mentioned athleisure now being a fashion staple. We have wearable tech like Fitbits. You know, we have this sense that wellness is sort of integrated in how we live our daily lives versus simply heading to the gym and having wellness take place there. So, you know, I'm hoping that listeners are going to hop over to your Instagram or objet.com to take a look at the decorative weights that we're talking about, because they are swirls that really look like sculptures. And you call them, decorative weights designed to lift. Can you walk us through a little bit about how you created this product and married form and function?
Sure. So once I had the idea, I just started sketching and started thinking about ideas that I thought might work. And then, of course, I looked at my own home as reference, and then my just the compendium of ideas I have in my head from all of my years, you know, as, you know, first as an interior designer and then my various businesses. And I have a habit of going to trade shows for fun and such. And I mean, I've always been passionate about the home industry. So I started widely looking broadly at what are all the objects that would make sense. And then I really fell in love with the idea of a Mobius swirl, which is the original inspiration for my first shape, which is a swirl. It's not a perfect Mobius swirl because I spent 2 years perfecting the grip to make sure it was comfortable to hold, comfortable to pick up, comfortable to put down, because I didn't want to feel like, I didn't want the products to feel like you were picking up just, you know, a vase in your house that could have been made with, you know, marble or silver or something like that. This needed to be an object that was beautiful and succeeded as a home decor object, but really was designed to lift.
Shane, we're heading into a quick break, but when we come back, I want you to walk us through, you know, what does make the grip so comfortable and silky? What is the, you know, what is the weight? What is the material? And fill us in on that.
Ever notice that how you feel affects your food choices? And that what you eat affects how you feel throughout the day. Well, researchers noticed it too, and now there's cutting-edge science about how food affects our emotional well-being. I'm food and science journalist Mary Beth Albright, and in my weekly podcast, Eat, You'll Feel Better, I look at practical, realistic ways to put the science of eating for emotional well-being into action. And this is important, without lapsing into negative diet culture messages that can really ruin anyone's emotional well-being. We talk about things like how the food in your gut sends messages directly to your brain. And we also celebrate something that I personally find often missing from food health news, and that's leaning into pleasure. Because food is delicious, and it's not just about what we eat. Emotional well-being is also about how we eat. So join me every week on Eat, You'll Feel Better, where we use science to improve mood through food. Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read, a podcast about the books that built our souls. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. Don't miss it. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna to Jhumpa Lahiri, Susie Essman, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they talk, they share. You can join us on Instagram for more behind-the-scenes content and giveaways at You Are What You Read Podcast and at Adriana Trigiani. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Shane, we're back. We were talking about the Mobius swirl inspiration for your product and how you spent 2 years perfecting the grip, making it comfortable. I'm literally holding one in my hand right now as we speak.
And it
is comfortable. It is silky. Tell us, you know, what is in this product? When we talk about a decorative weight, what is the poundage? You know, let our listeners in. What does it feel like to hold this in your hand?
Sure. So, first of all, the product is made with a really silky, smooth silicone over iron. So the iron is for the weight and the silicone is for the feel. And it was really important to me to, being that I'm a designer and I love fine furniture, that the product be able to be put down on any table surface and not scratch it. And I'm a person at dinner parties is always going around giving everyone a coaster. I get anxious. When
I think you got that from your mom, or maybe our shared Aunt Jane. She's a fan of the coaster. She's a fan of the coaster.
Yes. Yes. And then, you know, of course, one thing that I also can't stand when I, would lift other weights is that it would scratch my rings. So I also have always had, you know, gloves for lifting weights, or I've tried to wear them as much as possible, but that's a real pain. So it was really important to figure out how to make this really easy to set down, also to pick up. And the shape of the grip took a lot of effort as well. I basically tested it on hundreds of people. I would make 3D print samples of it and bring it to events and say, hey, could you just pick this up and tell me what you think? All different kinds of sizes. I mean, I brought it to my manicure salon. I brought it to parties. I just would walk around with these 3D printed weights.
You are very buff at this. I mean, I want to see your arm, Shane. I'm too bad we're recording this over audio, not video, because if you've been carrying these around for 2 years, you are in shape, my friend.
Oh, well, thank you. But sadly, I need to tell you that a 3D printed model is very light.
Okay. Because these are 4 pounds, right? These are four pound
exactly.
Weights.
Exactly. So the finished product now is 4 pounds, and I'm coming out with larger and heavier ones, and also other shapes and colors.
I love it. So you know, we're lifting these 4 pound weights. I know your website talks about using these decorative weights as something that you're calling movable moments. You know, what is that concept? Why is weight training important? And why is this on your desk? Why should listeners be excited about this product?
Sure. Yes. Well, I mean, I'll start with why weight training is important. You know, I think there's a lot of data out there that says, you know, weight training is so important for, you know, boosting your brain health, maintaining your muscle, which has a significant impact on your overall longevity and health, fighting bone loss, increasing metabolism, reducing anxiety, improving your sleep. I mean, there's all these reasons, and there's a ton of information out there about why it's so important. And I would recommend that, you know, people still go lift weights, you know, 3 or 4 times a week, as much as you can with, you know, full body workout. But to your question, what I'm focused on with Obshay is movable moments. So these are short opportunities throughout your day. It might only even be 3 minutes, 5 minutes, maybe 10, where you can actually lift weights to make sure that you actually get it done. Because what I found is there's days where I meant to go lift weights or get to the gym or do something active, and I didn't get there. And meanwhile, I'm just sitting at my desk all day or standing. And so the idea is, again, you know, have a beautiful object that is convenient and easy to pick up and put down. You don't need to change into workout clothes. So I focus on three types of movable moments. The first one is at your desk, called desk moves. These are movements you can do. You can even do them while on a Zoom call, often beneath the camera. Just keep, you know, pick up the object and lift a little. And then there's also house moves, like while you're standing around, you know, waiting for your kids or watching something or having a conversation with your partner or what have you, waiting for your coffee, pick up an objet and just do some reps. And then of course, full body active moves where, you know, I think we all started talking about this during the pandemic, but this new realization that it's really important for us to get up and move at least once an hour. So move arms, legs, your whole body, and you might as well grab a weight and incorporate that in.
Yeah, it makes so much sense. I mean, I sit at my desk a lot as well for my work, for my day job, and I actually set my iPhone to ring every 25 minutes to get up and do a quick stretch because I found that it helps my back. This notion of micro moments where we capitalize on these tiny chunks of time, I think is so, so smart because the theme of micro has been repeated on many shows that I've recorded with people. I've had people talking about, you know, I guess most famously micro joys that I had the author of that book on to talk about finding like little moments of joy in your everyday to sort of boost mood and to stabilize you during really hard times. But we've talked about you know, I had a wonderful orthopedic surgeon come on to talk about the importance of like micro movements, just like balancing on one leg while you brush your teeth. These tiny, tiny moments of time can be turned into, you know, actual fitness that helps us. And this notion of doing small reps, I think, feels so manageable when we in modern life.
Absolutely. And I think especially if anyone has had an injury, like I had an injured shoulder a year ago, and it really makes you slow down and think through what are the small things I can do every day to get a little bit better and back to the strength that I had. And so I think, you know, as we age, we sometimes need to recalibrate about our expectations about our own physical fitness.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have to work on it. You know, I had a wonderful fitness expert, Amanda Thieb, on the show, and she talked about the notion that, you know, what you're doing today is going to impact your health in 10 years. So, you know, we want to incorporate these daily movements. We want to build a bone strength and muscle mass because that's what, you know, keeps our bodies functioning. It's not just about, you know, how we look. It's how we feel and how we operate. So you outlined sort of three broad areas where you think the objet weights can be used, you know, at your desk and during different moments where you're maybe in your home waiting for your coffee to brew. How would somebody who purchases your products be inspired and see some of these workouts? Do you anticipate sharing videos? Do you expect that a customer might, you know, just find that kind of that workout inspiration elsewhere? What's your thinking on this?
Sure. So we have started building out a library of videos to inspire the different use cases for objet. So those can be found on our website and YouTube channel, and will start appearing on Instagram.
So exciting. So where can listeners find, tell us your website. I'll put it in the show notes, but while we're talking about it, where can they find you?
Sure. It's objet.com, which is OBSHAY.com. And that's a great place to start. And we're also on Instagram at objet shop.
Phenomenal. So you're starting with a line of decorative weights. Do you see expanding this product line? I know you mentioned different colors and sizes. Do you see other products coming down the road?
Absolutely. There'll be different shapes for different places in the home or office, and different colors as well as decorative bases for them to sit on.
Okay, phenomenal. I love that you have this gorgeous sort of crystal base that the weight can stay, you know, sit on. It really does make it look like a sculpture. It's so clear that you have such a beautiful creative eye. And I would love to just switch gears for a minute because your career arc is really creativity is a through line. You worked as an interior designer, creating beautiful spaces. You know, democratize access to design via, you know, these technology and platforms that you built, that you sort of spun off and sold to other companies. And you've really applied this design vision in different disciplines. And I'm just, you know, curious because you've sort of reinvented your career in different ways, even though there's been this sort of common through line. Do you see that in yourself? Do you think it's easier to reinvent when there is a through line of interest and skills? What's your take on how you've been able to have these different career iterations for yourself?
Well, I guess I would say I would agree with you. I think I'm sort of fundamentally a creative person, but there's really probably two kinds of creativity. The first is, I mean, I do love interior design. I love the spaces, the products, the process, the people involved. And so I just continuously gravitate towards beautiful product and spaces. And because I follow it, it's easy for me to think of the different components of a new business, which is probably honestly the second part of creativity I see that I have, I guess, which is I love to think about creating new businesses. It's probably a form of creativity for me.
Absolutely. I think that launching something and bringing something new into the world is such a creative process. For a listener who's thinking, I want to do what Shane's doing. You know, I would love to launch an interior design company. I would love to bring a physical product to market. I've had my own aha moment, but I'm kind of stopped. You know, this is sort of a two-part question. Do you think it's easier to offer a service-based business as you did in the beginning with interior design work? Or bringing a physical product to the market? You know, which has been easier for you?
Well, there, of course, are hard and easy,
I guess,
easier things.
I'm probably neither of them are easy, right? But, you know,
yes.
you've done both. You know, you've done both. So, yeah. You know, what's the difference?
Right. The difference is, you say there's service businesses, but I would another version of that might be digital businesses. So my first business, Decorati, that sold to Guild Group, was a digital platform, was a marketplace type thing. And then my second business, Guildery, was digital, but we had a physical product. We were digitally printing fabrics and soft goods. And that kind of led me to this place of like, I do really like making physical products. So for me, it's been a journey. So I don't know if I could say one is harder or easier, but probably I would say the getting started is easier with digital services because look, it's become so easy to make a website, to test things on social media and just kind of get moving without a ton of overhead, really different than even it was 10 years ago. With physical product, there isn't really a fast or cheap way to start. You have to, you know, have factories and industrial designers. You have to put up a bunch of capital in the beginning and you don't see the results for a long time. So if you're making me choose, Katie, I would say physical products are harder.
Physical product. I know, but there's something so beautiful about offering something tangible. And, you know, it's funny because I've worked in service-based businesses as well. You know, I wrote, you know, sort of advertising and marketing copy for years for people. I now offer sort of career coaching and I create, you know, branding materials for people. And I like doing this, but it's hard to scale a service-based business. And sometimes the lure of just sort of bringing something to market and seeing it exist in a physical space to be on a shelf feels really exciting. But I think you're right. It's very capital intensive. So, you know, how does that work for you? Are you self-funded? Are you looking, you know, to do capital raising? You know, what would be your advice to somebody who's thinking, I do want to go that route? You know, walk us through a little bit of your thinking about how you get started and get the capital.
Sure. My prior two businesses, I did raise money. My first investor was Peter Thiel. And then my second business, I had phenomenal investors like 4Runner and Cowboy Ventures and BBG and more. And so I have been down that path of raising money before and seeing how when you are the founder, then a lot of what you do is spending your time managing that process and preparing for the next one. And for this go around, I just decided, I mean, A, I'm not, you know, we'll see what is the right form of capital for this business in the long run. But for now, I just said, I want to create something. And so I've just been self-funded.
I absolutely love that spirit. You've created incredible companies in the past. You've been able to successfully sell sell them and move on. And you're up to something that's so exciting right now. Not only are you creating this new product, you're actually creating an entirely new category of products that does not yet exist, right? This notion of wellness decor. And I can see this taking hold. You're really launching something that's eventually going to be in a restoration hardware or, you know, a Pottery Barn, Crate and Barrel. This is, at some point, we're going to look back and wellness decor is going to be something that's fully integrated into our lives. And I'm so excited to be talking to you at the very beginning of this. I am curious. You created these other companies in the past, but you're taking a very big swing with this idea of creating a new physical product in an entirely new category of products. Do you think aging and getting older and being more experienced has played any role in your ability to take this big swing and this big risk?
Absolutely. And the reason for that is I'm motivated daily. I'm aging right alongside with everyone else, you know, in my cohort of midlife people. And, you know, I think about my health every day. And so it's, I feel like this is something that's authentic to who I am and what I spend my time thinking about.
Yeah. And you're pulling from all of these past experiences with different companies and different, you know, the ups and downs, the roller coaster of being an entrepreneur. I imagine that actually makes it easier to think about sort of putting yourself into this new lane.
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I'm so thrilled. Shane, I know you've got a special offer for everyone who's listening today. Before we move into our speed round, I would love for you to pass it on to a certain age listeners.
Sure. Your listeners can go to obshay.com. It's obshay.com and use the promo code KD15 at checkout for 15% off.
You can have one of these on your desk, listeners. I'm swinging it right now. I love it. All right, Shane, we're going to move into our speed round. And this is a great, it's like a big movable moment. We're ending on a high energy note. If you already have an obshay or if you've got something that's 4 pounds and you're listening to this, put it in your hand while we do the speed round. So this is 1 to 2 word answers to close. Launching obshay was?
Invigorating.
Nice. My obshay swirl lives here in my own home.
Everywhere? They're all over.
Oh my God. I love it. I would love to see obshay on the shelf of this hotel or spa.
Miraval.
Ooh, nice. Your product is designed to help build muscle and improve wellness. What's another product or activity that helps keep you fit?
Spinning. I'm an avid spinner.
Nice. Entrepreneurship is a roller coaster. This lifestyle choice or activity keeps me calm.
Spending time with friends.
Finally, your one word answer to complete the sentence. As I age, I feel
energized.
I love it. Shane, I feel energized from talking to you. I'm so excited about what you're bringing to market. I love the fact that you are my first family member who's been on this podcast. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Katie.
Yeah, it's been fun. So I want everyone to know that my own obshay sits on my home office bookshelf. If you want an obshay of your own, Shane has that generous discount code that she just shared with you all. Please use code KD15 at checkout. That's code KATIE15. Before we say goodbye, how can people find you and obshay?
They can go to obshay.com, which is obshay.com, or they can go to Instagram at Obshay Shop, or they can email me at shane@obshay.com.
Fantastic. I'll put all of that into the show notes. Thank you, Shane. This wraps A Certain Age, a show for women who are aging without apology. Before we say goodbye, a massive thank you to everyone who has taken time to write an Apple Podcast review. I see and appreciate you. Creating this podcast is so much fun, but it's also an extraordinary amount of work. I love seeing reviews that hype the show up. You are the best. Special thanks to Michael Mancini, who composed and produced our theme music. See you next time, and until then, age boldly, beauties.